The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, man. Welcome to a new week. Meet the new week, same as the old. Oh, do you ever feel like you're in a Groundhog Day kind of situation, or to bring it more current, Russian Doll? I'll put that one out there. Or there was another one, Palm Springs, a different Netflix had Russian Doll. I think Amazon, but I'm not sure. One of them had a show called Palm Springs that all go on that same kind of, Groundhog Day premise where, you know, the day keeps repeating over and over again. Try as you might to change it. Same shit, different day. And here we are. So when we last spoke on Friday, Donald Trump, it was announced, had the COVID. Yes, except there were a number of things we were lied to about. Such as when he was diagnosed, because now it appears that the diagnosis actually came before Donald Trump went to New Jersey on Thursday for that fundraiser. So you had something, a couple of hundred big money donors to the Trump campaign who have now all been exposed to COVID-19. And what they're learning is that the president likely knew he tested positive before he went to this fundraiser, where he did not wear a mask, where he mingled with these people giving him money for his campaign, probably shook their hands, kissed a few babies or women, you know, as the case may be, put all their lives in danger. That's who this man is. He puts people's lives in danger, and it's sickening. And as the weekend progressed, we learned that more and more of Trump's cronies also got the coronavirus. Interesting how that works, isn't it? Donald Trump, as the leader of his party, the leader of his cabal, the leader of his staff at the White House and of his campaign, sets the tone. And the tone is, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. You don't need to wear a mask. We're invincible. Well, maybe not so much. So, let's see. It was, the days are all mushing together on me. So I guess it was, must have been Friday. It was Friday evening that Donald Trump was taken to Walter Reed Medical Center and making us believe he's probably doing a lot worse than we're being told. But then today, Donald Trump announces, tonight at 6:30, I'm leaving. He actually tweeted it. Hold on. Here's what he tweeted out. This is astounding. I will be leaving the great Walter Reed Medical Center today at 6:30 p.m. feeling really good. Don't be afraid of COVID. What? Don't let it dominate your life. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Yeah, you know why? Because he's on steroids, and he's on the kind of steroids that make you feel really good. Let me see if I can find some of these notices about the kind of steroids that Donald Trump is on. Let's see if I can find. I've got so many things that I've saved here. It's astounding. Well, basically, the thing about this Dimexel, whatever it's called, and I've got it written down somewhere. I've got so much stuff here. Dexamethasone is a steroid. It will make you feel better momentarily. In fact, it can make you feel like you're on a bit of a high. Of course, now I can't find the tweet that explains what the side effects of this drug are. But that's basically it. It will make you feel artificially better artificially high. It gives a false sense of euphoria. God, I just had this tweet here and now I can't find it. I'm finding all kinds of other stuff, though, that is just astounding. Some of the things that I've saved here, I feel like I should go through. I really should go through the news because there's so much. First, let me tell you about our guest today because I'm really excited. It is Monday. Mondays are really difficult under the best of circumstances. And frankly, these are far from the best of circumstances. You know, occasionally I do a Monday music and sometimes a Monday movie. And today is Monday madness. Just because I couldn't think of a word that means comedy starting with an M. So I'm taking poetic license here. Anyway, the great Harry Shearer will join us at the bottom of the hour. Harry Shearer, you know him from, well, This is Spinal Tap is probably the thing that you've seen him in the most. If you're like me and have seen This is Spinal Tap dozens of times, he is the great Derek Smalls, the best bass player on the planet. Harry Shearer also was on Saturday Night Live for a few seasons. He was a writer on Saturday Night Live. He hosts a radio show called Le Show, based in Los Angeles. That's been going on for many, many, many years. He's an author. He's a producer. He's a musician. He's a comedian. He's a record company owner, and he's releasing a brand new album, and it's called, I believe, The Many Moods of Donald Trump. And yes, it's funny. And he's done this before. Harry Shearer has taken on the persona of other presidents. He's played Richard Nixon. He's played the Bushes. Usually people that he doesn't like much, he takes them on. And he takes on Donald Trump in a beautiful, very funny way. So we'll listen to some of the songs from his new album. We'll play some of the videos and we'll chat about everything, maybe The Simpsons, maybe politics, maybe living in New Orleans when they've been hit by one hurricane after another. This is after he went through Katrina there. He spends part of his time in New Orleans. He also spends part of his time in Los Angeles and part of his time in the UK because it's where his lovely wife, the great Judith Owen, is from. So anyway, a relief from all the seriousness is coming up, and we'll save the funny for later because Harry Shearer will bring lots of the funny, including a number of songs. They're not song parodies. Well, one I guess could be considered a parody. Anyway, Harry Shearer is coming up, but I guess we should start with the news because there is so much of it. So let's do it to it. Oop, this. Oh, boy. So I guess we begin where we left off on Friday. On Friday evening, Donald Trump walked under his own power to Marine One to be taken to Walter Reed Medical Center after exhibiting what the White House described as mild symptoms of COVID-19, including fatigue, a low-grade fever, and a cough. The briefings we've gotten from Trump's doctor are just too precious. This guy's name is Sean Connolly. Yeah, not, you know, I got to wonder what his parents were thinking. Sean Connolly, not Connery, but yeah. His briefings have been evasive and confusing, especially on top of the mixed messages we've gotten from the White House, especially from Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, who painted a much less rosy picture of Trump's condition and therefore has come under great criticism from the president. We do know that Trump has been given an odd cocktail of drugs. And I say odd because from what I can tell, no other patient has been given this combination of drugs, including remdesivir, dexamethasone, something like that, and some investigational experimental drugs like, and I forget the name of it, but this antibody therapy cocktail to combat the virus. But what we're told is some of those, like the dexamethasone, that's the steroid that is probably making him feel so good right now, is only given to people with really high viral loads, like really, really the sickest of the sick. And the same with that antibody therapy. And again, nobody has had them combined. So who knows Who knows? You know, he could just be on such a high right now that he's walking out on his own volition to go back to the White House because he's afraid that being in the hospital makes him look weak. Seriously, there's a report right now from the Daily Beast basically saying exactly that, that let me see if I can't find that. Again, I've got a wealth of information here. No, I can't. Okay, Daily Beast, here it is. Trump demanded to leave the hospital, scared he looks weak. Oh, this is according to a CNN report, just written up in the Daily Beast. It says, by all accounts, Trump is having an absolutely miserable time in the hospital. According to one report from CNN, he demanded to return to the White House yesterday, with unnamed sources telling CNN that the president is worried that the sight of him being hospitalized, quote, makes him look weak in front of a nation just weeks out from Election Day. A separate report from the New York Times says that Trump is spending his time in the hospital watching a lot of television. You think? Isn't that all he does anyway? And is becoming increasingly furious about how his hospital stay is being depicted on the major networks. So the New York Times correspondent Mary Haberman corroborated CNN's report that Trump tried to force a return to the White House yesterday, but doctors reportedly refused. And that's where his little joyride came in. They gave that to him as a compromise. He's a man child. He's a 7-year-old in a 74-year-old body. And why anyone's listening to his shit, I do not know. By the way, here's some of the side effects of this drug, the steroid. Again, the dexamethasone. Aggression, agitation, anxiety, blurred vision, decrease in the amount of urine, dizziness, fast, slow pounding or irregular heartbeat or pulse, headache, irritability, mental depression, mood changes, nervousness, noisy, rattling breathing, numbness or tingling in the arms or legs, pounding in the ears, swelling in the fingers, hands, feet or lower legs, trouble thinking, speaking or walking. How would we know? Trouble breathing at rest and weight gain. But that doesn't talk about, it brings on this this manic feeling where you're just speedy, which, you know, most steroids will do. The prednisone will do that to you. And it gives you a feeling of euphoria. And obviously that's what he's experiencing now. Anyway, I mentioned that in that piece I just read to you, his little outing yesterday, which was just jaw-droppingly stupid. And so I wrote in my What's News this morning, in the most perplexing and ill-conceived move yet, the president briefly left Walter Reed yesterday, got in the backseat of the Beast, wearing just a black cloth face mask. There were at least two Secret Service members with him in the vehicle who were also just wearing masks, or so it appeared through the window. Well, there's a doctor named James P. Phillips, who is an attending physician at Walter Reed. And he tweeted, using his real name, tweeting, quote, that presidential SUV is not only bulletproof, but hermetically sealed against chemical attack. The risk of COVID-19 transmission inside is as high as it gets outside of medical procedures. The irresponsibility is astounding. My thoughts are with the Secret Service forced to play. And apparently, Secret Service officers are pissed. Yasher Ali of New York Magazine, who is a very reputable journalist, tweeted a text he got from a former U.S. Secret Service agent who served under two presidents in their protection division. And here's what the text said. I am beside myself. He is willfully disregarding the health and safety of agents around him. They have no choice as they will carry out their mission, but if this is not a clear indication that he could give two shits about their health safety, then I don't know what is. I remember a time when we used to judge protectees based on whether or not they traveled over the holidays, thus impacting the family lives of the agents. Now, moving forward, I guess the litmus test is whether or not the president will kill me. But wait, there's more. We've also now learned that Trump has not been honest with the American people about when he was diagnosed. The Wall Street Journal, again, this is owned by Rupert Murdoch. The Wall Street Journal reported that when Trump called into Sean Hannity's show on Fox Not News on Thursday night and confirmed that Hope Hicks had tested positive for COVID-19, he didn't mention that he also had a positive result from a rapid test and was awaiting results from a more reliable screening. Trump told Hannity that night, Thursday night, that he had been tested and would get the results back either tonight or tomorrow morning. But it was early Friday morning. Actually, it was very late Thursday night. It was like 1 a.m. That Trump tweeted that he and malaria had both tested positive for the coronavirus. By the way, did you notice Trump was whisked off to Walter Reed on Friday, and we haven't heard a word about melanoma? We don't know any. Does he care? It's his wife. I just keep thinking, you know, I try to relate it to my own personal life. And I think if David and I were both diagnosed and they told him, well, you need to go to the hospital, he would not leave my side. He would say, if I'm going, she's going. But, you know, Donald is all about Donald. He doesn't give a shit about anyone else, including his wife, who apparently is still back at the White House. We haven't heard anything about what kind of shape she's in. But anyway, regardless, Trump reportedly told an unidentified advisor that his aides, who are, you know, you're testing positive, it seems like on an hourly basis, should keep their positive test results to themselves. He said, don't tell anyone. But as I already mentioned, we know that he went to that fundraiser in New Jersey Thursday night after he knew that Hope Hicks had tested positive, and possibly, reportedly, it seems more and more likely that it was even after he got a positive result himself. Now, as for contact tracing, New Jersey officials are trying to find the 206 people who attended that fundraiser last week, but they can't because the RNC didn't provide their phone numbers or addresses. This is a comedy of errors, except it's not very funny. It's not funny at all, because 210,000 Americans have already died. And Donald Trump says, don't be scared of the coronavirus. Hey, Donald, not everyone has access to the best medicine in the world, to experimental drugs that you get, but they can't. And by the way, there's another, you know, there are all kinds of reports of different of timelines of how people get how they react. And by the way, this is a novel coronavirus. We have never dealt with it before, so we don't know what to expect. We don't know how it's going to react in different people's bodies, and they react differently depending on the different people. And for instance, Tim O'Brien, journalist, tweeted out a humbling Herman Cain coronavirus timeline. June 24th, Herman Cain attended Donald Trump's rally maskless. July 2nd, Herman Cain tests positive for COVID-19. July 10th, says he's improving. July 15th, says his doctors seem happy. July 27th, Herman Cain says he's getting really better. July 30th, Herman Cain died. That's Herman Cain, 999. But I'll tell you about somebody else, a friendly acquaintance of mine, a man named Jack Lieberman, known in South Florida as Radical Jack. He ran a business. He had a company called Progressive Rags, and he made T-shirts and hats and swag for, you know, political purposes. He was as progressive as we come. Jack Lieberman, at any event I ever went to, there was Jack, with his swag or without, protesting or being there, walking the talk. Jack Lieberman and his wife were diagnosed with the coronavirus. They both went into the hospital. They were there for a couple of months. I remember seeing updates on Facebook, you know, giving us, you know, they're not doing great. Both of them are intensive care. Then one day there was a Facebook post from Jack Lieberman saying, I'm doing much better, but Marilyn needs your prayers. Marilyn, his wife. 2 weeks later, Marilyn's fine. Jack Lieberman is dead. We thought he was recovering. I thought he was out of the woods because he posted on Facebook because he was feeling better. And then he died. And that's what happens. And Donald Trump, with his cavalier attitude, with his round-the-clock doctors and nurses, yeah, he can go back to the White House and tell people, see, it's not so bad. Don't be afraid of the COVID. It is sickening. It is irresponsible. It is unpresidential, and it's disgusting, frankly. Disgusting. So on the other side of the political divide, though, former Vice President Joe Biden's camp announced that he will disclose the result of every coronavirus test he takes going forward. It's unclear exactly how often he'll be tested, but a campaign spokesman said it would happen regularly. The former vice president still plans to forge ahead with in-person campaigning during this final month before Election Day. And apparently the vice presidential debate, slated for this Wednesday night in Salt Lake City, is on. I guess there have been negotiations going on where Kamala Harris's camp has been fighting for protections and finally got the agreement that they will have a plexiglass barrier separating. You know, look, Saturday night, I believe it was, Lindsey Graham and Jamie Harrison debated in South Carolina. Jamie Harrison brought his own plexiglass barrier to put around his podium, which was awesome. By the way, he was great. Lindsey Graham probably should have stuck to this line.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Because, yeah, he'd probably be doing better in the polls now than he is. It's not looking good for too good for Miss Linz. Anyway, so here we are now. In addition to once Donald Trump was diagnosed, the dominoes began falling. Former White House advisor Kellyanne Conway, Trump's campaign manager Bill Stepien, Senators Tom Tillis, Mike Lee, and Ron Johnson all tested positive. Oh, then it was former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie who helped in the debate prep. And don't believe Donald Trump when he tells you he didn't do any. This is my debate prep. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
He did very intensive debate prep it with Chris Christie telling him, oh, here's what you need to do. Joe Biden is a stutterer. So really throw him off his game. Just interrupt him every time he starts talking. That'll really fuck him up. This is how they play. Well, sorry to hear the news, or sorry, not sorry. Chris Christie not only tested positive, but yesterday checked himself into the hospital too. But there's collateral damage. You know, Kellyanne Conway reportedly also passed on the infection to her 15-year-old daughter, Claudia. The reason, allegedly, that she left the White House and that her husband, George Conway, left the Lincoln Project because their 15-year-old daughter is having a really hard time with what assholes her parents are. So she threatened suicide. She didn't threaten suicide. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. She threatened to emancipate herself. She wanted out of her from under her parents' wings because she believes they're both political morons because they follow this guy. So they both quit their jobs, went home ostensibly to care for their troubled teenage daughter. Well, now Claudia Conway is going on Instagram saying, my fucking mother gave me COVID-19 and now I'm dying. I'm sure she's not dying, but she's probably not feeling really good, and she has only her mother to blame. By the way, what's his name? George Conway tweeted out a series of tweets responding to the White House and their tweets about the gathering last Saturday in which Trump officially introduced and nominated Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, which had to have been the super spreader event, because at least 8 or 10 people who were there in the front rows have now tested positive. And so George Conway tweeted out, I'm livid, and four of them, one after another after another. And you know what? I responded to George Conway. Here, let me see if I can find what I said to George Conway. I was busy on Twitter today. My response to him was, Yeah, I get it. But your irresponsible wife attended. Her choice. And she didn't wear a mask. Also her choice. She needs to learn a lesson or three. Maybe COVID-19 will teach her. All right. I could keep going and going and going. But we do have Harry Shearer coming up. So I'll tell you what. Let's take care of a little bit of business for our friends at the Progressive Voices Network. So we'll do that. Be right back. And while Progressive Voices is in ads, I want to play for you a quick video from the Sunrise Movement. The Sunrise Movement, they are the young people really behind the Green New Deal, just to put things in perspective. Young people who have the power to change this country. And this is a message from the Sunrise Movement. I will post this video on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. I'll also tweet it out later and put it on Facebook. But it is imploring young people to vote. Here we go.
A lot of people have tried to make voting seem cool. They've tried being fun. They've tried being demanding. And they've even tried just being kind of horny.
Dr. King, Malcolm X, freedom of speech is as good as sex.
But here's how that force-fed enthusiasm translates to the real world.
We all know that voting is
cool.
And we all know that if you don't vote,
you don't count.
All right, right on.
There's this common belief that young people are lazy and unengaged.
Fact is, there's a lot of you guys that got that fucking Pokemon searching around, driving around, looking for fucking Pokemon. That shit ain't gonna do shit for you.
I don't know who created Pokemon Go. But I'm trying to figure out how we get them to have Pokemon go to the polls.
While youth turnout has always been low, the stereotype that young people don't care about politics isn't true. In 2016, 9 in 10 young people said they'd intended to vote. But in reality, only about half of that number filled out a ballot. Of course, there are plenty of things that could be done to improve this.
You know what other countries do in terms of the right to vote all over this world? They say automatically, with all of the technology out there, you are 18 years of age. You are registered to vote. That's it, automatically. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's
the problem? The problem is that many Republicans see voter suppression as politically advantageous.
So much of the Democratic asks are really liberal left wish lists. We don't want to have voting rights and aid to aliens and so forth. That's not our game. And the president can't accept that kind of deal.
And that is just a taste of a video from the Sunrise Movement imploring young people to vote. We do need them to vote. All right. Well, I told you he was coming up. Let's wait no longer. I'm thrilled to welcome back to the show the one and only Harry Shearer. Hopefully this is going to work. Hey, Harry.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm in New Orleans, Louisiana, where, you know, it's COVID time, but with a twist. A lot of the restaurants have opened up outdoor seating, and all of our friends, well, most of our friends are still here. Some have fled to the Northeast for the summer, but and there are musicians organizing live gigs for themselves and their friends with the in the absence of venues, which we hope will come back. So it's almost like real New Orleans.
Well, real New Orleans would be nice.
Yeah.
And I know you split your time. You guys, you and your lovely wife, Judith, split
my
your time.
My lovely and talented wife.
Yes, very much so. Split your time between New Orleans and Los Angeles and the UK as well. So you're on the move, but right now you're in New Orleans. Crazy time of year to be there, and especially this year, because hurricane season has just been nuts for the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, I don't mean to downplay. The word downplay has gotten a bad image lately.
That it has.
New Orleans has been very fortunate, and we're hoping that that good fortune continues. Other places in the state have been not so fortunate, and we feel for them. But in the city, having been hammered as we were some 15 years ago, not by a hurricane, but by the after effects of an engineering catastrophe that was triggered by a hurricane.
Uh-huh.
We're keeping a cautious eye out.
Well, that's good. And we've talked about that a number of times. Yeah. I'm playing around with our shot. I'm really screwing it up here. So it's always technical problems with me. But we're on live. We got Harry Shearer on the video. We've got the audio. We can see you. We don't see me. But I'll fix that in a few minutes. But
I'm feasting on your photographs and posters on the wall.
Oh, you have there. Yes, you have a different view than the listeners have of because you're on a different camera. But yes, yeah. I'm surrounded by musical greatness behind me. Some friends of yours too. In fact, I got to tell you the main reason you're here today, although you're welcome here anytime, is this new record coming out, The Many Moods of Donald Trump.
Yes. The first joke is, of course, there's only one mood. Screw me, screw you worse.
That's right.
That's the mood. I do a radio show, as you know, every week on public radio. I make fun of the news. And it turns out that this guy seems to demand attention every minute of every day. And so I've complied with his instructions and paid a lot of attention. And so every week I tend to either write a comedy sketch about him where I play all the characters, or sometimes I write a song about something he said or done. And beginning of this year, I just was going through stuff, and I went, my perception was, God, I've written a lot of these songs, and some of them are pretty good, and I should take them into a studio, because the radio versions are sort of demo versions where I play everything, and get some great musicians together and do a proper record of this. And so that's what we did, my producer, C.J. Vanson, and I, starting in just before Carnival time in February. And then my wife and I, Judith, was touring Australia in March. And just before Australia closed for business, I got connected to a guy at a video effects studio. And I said to him, these songs, all the songs on this record, are sung in the voice of Donald Trump. I'm going to make some music videos. I want them to look like they're being sung by Donald Trump. Can you do that? And he said, oh, yeah. And so we've been working on those pretty consistently, COVID style, you know, Skype calls between Sydney and Santa Monica or New Orleans. And the second one has just come out, the second of the videos, which I'll be glad to talk to you about.
Sure. In fact, we can play it and then talk about it. So this we played the first one about a month or two ago now, when it first came out, Son-in-Law, which was very good. And I marveled at, first of all, how much you looked like Donald Trump. I mean, the technology is amazing. And the setting, the Oval Office. Now, Harry Shearer, I had thought, because a couple of years ago, you did a brilliant take on Richard Nixon. Set in the Oval Office, and and that set was brilliant. And I thought, and I asked you, is this the same set? And you said, no, not at all.
Yeah, that set was very carefully put together by craftsmen in England for the production team we had, faithfully executing the reproduction of the Oval Office as it looked under Richard Nixon. All the presidents changed their Oval Offices. The First Lady does the drapes. Still, at this in this day and age, and this was a totally technological CGI exact replica of the Donald Trump White House. Totally different way of doing it, but same effect.
It is amazing. So, for those who are just listening to one of the audio streams on Progressive Voices or the podcast, I will post the video on the blog at NicoleSandler.com, where I post today's show. So it'll be there. And I'll tweet it out as well. But those of you watching on any of the video streams, you'll get to see the visual brilliance as well as hear the song. So this one's called Executive Time. It's brand new from Harry Shearer right here on the Nicole Sandler Show. Take it away, Harry.
Briefing papers, they're not really worth a dime. There's nothing brief about my briefings. They just cut into executive time. I know more than all of my experts. I've learned more from watching the mime. See, I'm at my most productive when I'm deep in executive time. checking in with Hannity. Watching Laura for a laugh. Calling up my oldish pals to bitch about my staff. I'm safe for most of each day from a swamp filled with all of that slime. 'Cause for me, there's no time like executive time. Executive time. It's great. I really should be golfing in that incredible Florida climb, but I'm making this major sacrifice for the sake of executive time. I'm trapped inside this White House where no way the burgers are prime. The least I can thirds of each day devoted to executive time. Got to know how I'm covered to keep ahead of the slobs. Of course I have to watch Tucker, keep tabs on Lou Dobbs. Safe for most of each day from a swamp filled with all of that slime. 'Cause for me, there's no time like executive time. It's executive time.
Executive time. Harry Shearer from the new album, The Many Moods of Donald Trump, with Executive Time. Harry, that's just wonderful.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. I think I lost. We should not have lost our video, our audio. There we go. Really good stuff. And it's so crazy. Now, you said that the set is all CGI. Mm-hmm. Donald, that's obviously you in makeup. Yes. But are you CGI in makeup? It's not makeup.
That's not makeup. That's another electronic
wow
trick. Yeah, I had it was 4 hours in makeup every morning to do Nixon, and I thought there's got to be a better way and a wetter way. But so it's all technology this time around.
Wow, that's awesome. And I want to ask about the musicians on the album, too. I was actually, you know, I was surprised that under keyboards on some of these tracks, I didn't see Judith Owen. I thought for sure your wife would participate with you because she's an amazing musician. But no, nope.
She is indeed. But I don't play bass on her record. She doesn't play piano on mine.
Gotcha. What I did notice, you know, you mentioned all the musicians and stuff behind me on the wall. You, Mark Bonilla and Tos Panos are in your band.
Yeah.
They're two old dear friends. Mark Bonilla is one of my favorite people on the planet.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, he used to play with Kevin Gilbert in Toy Matinee, the late, great Kevin Gilbert. And Tos Panos was their drummer. And I could tell you a story about Tos. I haven't seen him in probably 25, 30 years. But we had one night a long time ago. So, good people.
Yeah, great. They were in the Derek Smalls tour.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so you'll see them in that's coming out as a concert video very soon. So I've been working with Tos and Mark for a while, and they're both brilliant musicians. And,
yes, they are.
Such fun to play.
Mark Bonilla is an amazing guitar player, and Tos Panos is a great drummer. Perfect name
for drummer. By the way, I should point out I don't play bass on this record.
Oh,
either.
You don't? No.
No. No, I play bass on the Derek record, but this is basically I'm concentrating on being somebody else.
I see.
And that somebody else is not a musician.
Thankfully,
somebody else is somebody who likes neither music nor dogs.
No, and what does that say about a person? That is all you need to know. Somebody who, they don't like dogs, I'm sorry, but don't like music. But let's talk about Derek Smalls for a moment, because, of course, Harry Shearer's with us, and one of Harry Shearer's alter egos is the bass player, Derek Smalls, of course, from the brilliant rock band Spinal Tap. And then you went out solo. So you Derek Smalls did, actually.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he went solo and overdid it a little bit because, you know, most aging rockers appear live with a symphony orchestra. And Derek, as I say, went a little overboard and appeared with two simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little more than he could handle. But it's there for all to see very soon.
You know, I gotta bring up the work you did with Christopher Guest and Michael McKean is just brilliant, and it's held up so beautifully over all these years, and the characters still resonate. But the offshoots, I mean, you also did, in addition to Spinal Tap, you did A Mighty Wind, where you were the
folksman.
The folksman, of course you were.
Yeah.
And you know, this improvisational group, I've got to bring up the great success of Schitt's Creek at the Emmys this year. This group of comedians, of just brilliant performers, who did this unique mix of improvisation and scripted comedy directed by Rob Reiner, moved forward and have done so many different things. But to see the recognition Schitt's Creek got this year was beautiful, because I binged it during the stay-at-home time.
Oh, Judith and I have been watching it since it started in Canada, and I'm so very glad for all of them. I'm especially glad for Catherine, because I am in awe of her as a comedic actress. I got to do one scene with her once that was in For Your Consideration.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm not just talking about watching her from afar. I watched some scenes she was in on the same stage, but to actually be in a scene with her and be able to take a moment out from being insanely nervous to actually see what's going on right in front of my eyes was amazing.
Yeah. No, she's great. Plays Moira and just Moira Rose, and just so good. So I recommend that if someone's looking for something to binge on
absolutely
television.
That. And if you haven't seen it yet, Episodes, I also recommend.
Oh, really? Episodes is the Matt LeBlanc thing, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. We watched it when it first aired. It's very, very funny. I was sorry when he got it. He got a new TV show and stopped doing Episodes. Episodes was better than anything on network television.
No kidding. Brilliant stuff.
Speaking of network television, you are still on The Simpsons. You voice like 23 characters? My daughter really discovered The Simpsons this year while in quarantine. My daughter, who just turned 21, and loves it. When I mentioned to her that I knew you, she got very impressed.
Wow. All right, then.
So you're still, you're bringing along new fans, and there's no end in sight for that, is there?
If I can bring mother and daughter together at the ripe age of 21, my work here is done. It's amazing. I mean, people come up to me now and tell me about their children's discovery of the show,
right?
As well as their children's discovery of Spinal Tap.
Uh-huh.
In that case, they're more often the ones who go, "You have to sit down and watch this." To their kids.
You know, I tried. We there was one night we were going to watch Spinal Tap, and we both fell asleep, unfortunately. And she got a job and moved out. I'm now an empty nester. My baby flew the coop. She was stuck at home with us during we're still home. I mean, we're old farts, so I don't leave the house. But she got a job and went out into the world. She actually came over for dinner. Well, not dinner. She came over Thursday night. We sat outside with our masks. I couldn't hug her. It was pretty horrible.
You're stuck at home. You never take the limo out for just to wave at your
I do,
your
to
fans.
Wave at my fans outside the hospital.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do that regularly.
You know, I have to say, pardon me. I was really scared when this weekend started, when this happened, this news story broke on early Friday morning, that I'd have to constrain myself from making the usual fun of this guy.
Mm-mm.
But I'm so reassured that he never learns a lesson. He never changes his game. He's always Roy Cohn going, "Didn't hurt me, screw you."
Yeah.
And, there's a moment, there's a shot at the end of the executive time video where he's just sitting at the desk signing his name over and over again while Newt Gingrich and Lindsey Graham watch him. And in my mind, that was like the thing you used to do in junior high, practice your signature.
Yeah,
but of course,
right.
But of course, last night, he sat there in a video or a photograph, I think,
yes,
signing blank pieces of
yes
paper. And it was exactly what we have in the video. And
real life imitating art.
Yeah, yeah, or at least satire.
That too. Harry Shearer is with us. So this album, The Many Moods of Donald Trump, when is it officially out?
Comes out end of this month, just in time for, you know, a great Election Day gift.
Oh, yeah.
And it come, we're doing it on CD, and then I think it takes a little while longer for the LP, maybe the first week in November for the LP.
Okay.
Because LPs, as you know, are hot again, at least compared to CDs.
Tell me about it. I've got about 2,000 CDs that I have carried around the country, and I finally decided I'm going to purge them. I'm going to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Can't give them away. Can't give them away.
Literally can't give
them
away.
I know.
Yeah. I think you got to save them for the next come around.
I put them all on the iPod. That's all I need. So.
Yeah, the next bunch of kids will rediscover the CD, and they'll be hip all over again.
Maybe. So you did two full-on videos, right? The new one,
yes,
Executive Time, and Son-in-Law that we played.
Yeah.
We can either play Son-in-Law again with the video, which is another just brilliant technological feat, or play another one of the songs that you've sent me. There's some. These are really good.
Thank you. I'd rather play a song.
Okay.
I don't know if you have the audio. For every one of the songs, we've also got what's called a lyric video.
I have most of the lyric videos up that ready to go that you sent me.
Oh, okay.
So
which song would you like?
Can I tell you the one that has grabbed me the most?
Yeah.
I Never Knew Him.
Yeah,
that's
great.
A great song. I mean, aside from everything that is in it, it's just so spot on. But musically, it's a great song too. So you want to hear that one?
Sure.
All right. I Never Knew Him. This is the lyric video, so you can sing along with Harry Shearer on the Nicole Sandler Show. Here we go.
Little Stormy was a handful, despite all the hype. I paid a load of chump change, but no way was she my type. Now, when anybody asks me, I don't care if I upset her. But this, I can tell you, I never even met her. John Kelly was a chief of staff, like I needed one of those. I never liked his manner, I was creeped out by his clothes. Now he's talking lots of trash, I probably should sue him. And here's the beauty part, I never even knew him. Gracie Rudy was the mayor of my personal hometown. When I was helping at Ground Zero, I didn't see him around. He offered help with the Russian thing, so I told my staff, okay, let him. He's not my real lawyer anyway. I don't think I ever met him. Melania was such a lovely gal, the kind of immigrant I approve. I saw her first at a modeling gig. Then I made my trademark move. Now she's raising my last son. At big events you can view her. I'm sure she's a very fine person too. Too bad I never knew her. I never knew her.
Harry Shearer, again, I never knew her. It's brilliant because it's so true. Because
yeah, I mean,
that's what he does.
He says. Yeah, that's his human wastebasket. As to after somebody becomes useless to him or uncomfortable for him in some political way, usually. I have no idea who that is. I hardly know her.
Yeah,
You hear Mark Bonilla all through that song, by the way. That's all that great guitar playing. Uh-huh. All those great. That's Bonilla.
Yes. No, he is brilliant. I got to see him a couple of months ago. He was down here touring with CTA or something. I hadn't seen him in 20 years, and it was great to catch up
with
him.
Not the original Chicago.
It's one of the members of Chicago, the original members, who was the original drummer who put together this touring thing. And I guess Mark's been even records with him. So,
great!
Yeah,
great.
And actually, they sounded great.
He's a lot of fun to play with.
I'll bet. No, he's a good guy. And I didn't know if you met him through us, because you guys, Spinal Tap, came on the Mark and Brian show so many years ago, and that's my connection with Mark as well. And I
was introduced to him by C.J. Vanston, who's our producer, my producer.
Okay.
And C.J. just has this unerring sense of great musicians to connect me with. So he's the guy who connected me with Toss, Panos. He's the guy who connected me with Bonilla. He's brought in so many.
And then he plays a lot of the instruments on the album.
Oh, my God, yeah. Right?
Yep.
He plays the trombone solo in the executive time.
Well, very good. Now, this isn't the first time you've taken on the persona of a less than likable president. Obviously, we talked about Nixon a little bit. You did the Songs of the Bushmen back in 2008.
Right? Yes, that was a record about all of the people in the Bush administration. Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, all those great people. And the cover art was, because it was called Songs of the Bushmen, it was an illustration of George W. Bush with a bone through his nose.
Yes.
And I was prohibited from buying billboards to put that image up to advertise the record in L.A.
And would you have ever thought that Cretans would do the same treatment to Barack Obama, to the next president of the United States, as their... just a smear campaign against him. You do remember that, right?
Which one?
They did a thing through the nose picture of Obama.
But you know, with Bush, it was a play on his name.
Oh, of course it was. Right. No, they did it as a racist trope against the sitting president. So it's just a sign of the times. And now, I mean, just like you would never have imagined that happening, did you ever in your wildest dreams think we'd ever see a day where Donald Trump would be president of the United States?
Well, the Simpsons did, obviously.
They did. That's right.
I have to say, you know, I paid a lot of attention. I was in and out of New York to a degree during the 90s. So I was aware of, this was a guy who pretended to be his own press agent, called up the New York tabloids and gave them scoops like "best sex ever," says Marla. And the guys at the tabloids knew it was him and they printed it anyway. And then he gets to denounce them. And we've been rinsing and repeating that dance between him and the media ever since to the present day.
Yes. And now, I mean, he is the world's greatest con man. I mean, I liken him to Harold Hill in The Music Man, except Harold Hill is redeemed at the end. He, you know, his heart wins out. Donald Trump has no heart. He never knew her. He would say that about his daughter if she came up on the wrong side.
That's right.
Right? So, and here we are. And so this ruse, do you think he really has COVID, or what do you make of what's going on right now?
My first waking up in the morning to that news sense was that there may be something less than we see to this.
Mm-hmm.
I have come to the conclusion that it's hard enough to get a bunch of guys in white coats to come out and kind of cover for him and kind of shade the truth for him, shall we say. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a lot harder to get a bunch of those guys in white coats to make a totally pretend a case for him having a disease he doesn't have.
You would think but I what's think with him going home tonight?
He thinks being in the hospital makes him look weak. I tweeted as a joke that when he was walking to the helicopter to take him to the hospital, he was wearing a mask, and that made him look weak. Because that's the thing that hurts him the most. That's the thing that wounds him, because that's the thing he's most concerned about. Obviously, I see this guy. I try to see these people. I think it's more interesting in terms of comedy as well as anything else to look at him. Try to understand who they are as a person as opposed to just what they are politically. And if you follow this story of this really bad father who treated him like I can swear, right?
You can say anything you want. Yes.
Treated him like shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, sent him to military school because he was such a mess. And then Trump, his father builds these crappy shit boxes for working class people in Queens and says Trump, Donald won't amount to anything. And Donald goes, I'll show you, crosses the river to Manhattan, builds these giant golden penises, tries to get the love of the New York elite, which they don't give him ever. And I just hear, I sense that the way he talks, the way the words he uses, there's a song on this record that quotes this bizarre phrase, I'm a very stable genius. That's all him arguing with his dad.
Mm.
And he's yelling because his dad's voice in his head is still so freaking loud. You're a pisser from Queens. Forget it. You're a pisser from Queens. No. I'm a very stable genius. And I think that's what we just happen to be watching that.
Wow. It is astounding. It is. I mean, I talk about opposite world all the time where nothing makes sense. It's all backwards. But this is like another dimension stuff where Donald. I mean, I even thought the other day in sort of a nightmare I had that I died. You know, I had cancer a few years ago. Maybe in surgery I died and I'm in hell because this is what I think hell feels like. But I had some listeners tell me you're not dead because I'm there, too. So
yeah,
I guess not.
And I think the weather is worse than hell.
Well, I'm in Florida, so
you know. Yeah. See?
Well, you're in New Orleans. You got the same weather. Yeah. Anyway, Harry Shearer, the new album, The Many Moods of Donald Trump, will be out at the end of the month. We'll let everyone know when it's officially available. The videos, you've got a bunch of them up on YouTube. I will link to them from my blog today. I'll post the couple that we played as well. What else? There's so much I could talk to you about, but we are running out of time. So I figure we'll go out with one more song. You want to do Very Stable Genius?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Harry Shearer, it's always a pleasure. So, and I want to let people know as well, we mentioned the radio show. Le Show has been going on for how many years?
37.
Wow. 37 years. You can get it, obviously, on a radio station near you on public radio, but you can go to harryshearer.com and you can always get it there. And you hear this kind of commentary, plus music, plus comedy, plus interviews, a little bit of everything. It's what radio should be. I always enjoy Le Show. So do check that out as well. Harry Shearer, always a pleasure. Please send my love to Judith. And thank you for joining us today. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Nicole. Always great to talk
to you. All right. We will leave you with Very Stable Genius, Harry Shearer. Take it away, Harry. Or Donald. It starts with the...
Pelosi thinks that she's so smart, she can just spit out subpoenas. But she'll learn soon enough who's a very stable genius. Einstein was a real smart guy. At least that's what I'm told. He thought up all these theories, although he looked real old. But you never saw him on TV, not network, not even cable. So when you're talking geniuses, I'm the one who's very stable. Very stable. Was brilliant like the sun. When you needed code, thought up that guy was really number one. But he didn't even speak English, not willing or not able. So when you're talking geniuses, I'm the one who's very stable. Very stable. Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, I've known them all, met them more than twice. The Google people, that Facebook guy, they asked for my advice. Clearly, they were sharp as tacks, sitting at my conference table. But when you're talking geniuses, I'm the one who's very stable. Very stable. Elon Musk is building ships to Mars and maybe Venus. But even crazy Elon knows I'm a very stable genius.